Today's New Testament reading is from Romans, the 4th chapter. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness, apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. Is this blessing then only for the circumcised, or also for the uncircumcised? We say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it counted to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was not after. But before he was circumcised, he received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose was to make him the father of all who believe without being circumcised, so that righteousness would be counted to them as well, and to make him the father of the circumcised who are not merely circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring, that he would be heir of the world, did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null, and the promise is void, for the law brings wrath. But where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope he believed against hope, that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words, "it was counted to him," were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who was raised from the dead, even our Lord Jesus Christ, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. This is the word of the Lord. For today's meditation on God's word, we welcome Pastor Charles St-Ange from Ascension Lutheran Church in Montreal, Quebec.
Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A number of years ago, President Barack Obama landed himself in hot water, right in the middle of an election campaign, by suggesting that business owners in the United States shouldn't take all the credit for their enterprises. If you've got a business, you didn't build that, the president said. Somebody else made that happen. Soon afterwards, we heard the response from the opponents. Heresy! Sacrilege, and even the dreaded S word, socialism. What could the president have possibly been thinking when he said these things? After all, to be an American is to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and make it happen, whatever it might be. And that certainly goes for religion as well, doesn't it? If I'm a Christian, it's because I chose the right path for my life or because I made a decision for Jesus. I don't need a pastor or a preacher or a church to tell me what to do. I chart my own religious destiny. You didn't build my religion. I did, myself. That's why I've always found the bootstrap comment to be mildly amusing. Have you ever actually tried to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps? It's not something you can easily do. You can't do it in real life, and you really can't do it in religion either. Which is why Paul writes to the church in Rome the following words. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about. What exactly would Abraham have boasted about, by the way? Certainly he would consider the fact that he was handpicked by God to be the patriarch of a new nation, to be a blessing to all the peoples of the earth. Well, why was he handpicked? Because he was so wonderful? Not according to Paul's read of the Lord's word to us in Genesis. If it were something to do with who Abraham was or what he did, then he could boast about the fact that he was picked. But Paul says this is exactly what Abraham cannot do. Abraham was saved by trusting God's promise to him. Now, that does sound great. It sounds like there's at least some personal responsibility, that the fact that Abraham trusted God's promises should be to his credit. But if that's the way we read this, then it turns out to be pretty horrible, in fact. Because if it's something that Abraham earned, being picked to be this great patriarch over what would become the nation of Israel, then was it also something he could unearn? Could you stop earning God's favor? Could he have done something so that God would say, you know, I picked you originally, Abraham, because you were such a great guy, but you know what? You're just not turning out the way I expected. Paul writes that to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. What happens when you don't show up for work? You unearn your salary. You unearn your wages. And if that's how we read this text, if that's how we read Abraham, then we're right back into believing that it's our work, our belief, our trust that somehow saves us, and not Jesus Christ himself. I once read on the internet a Facebook post by a pastor who had just gone through a bout of depression, and people from other Christian denominations said, well, that's because you're a Lutheran. It's because you poor people keep saying that you're poor, miserable sinners. The honest truth is that is the most freeing thing we can say every week, and the pastor who posted said exactly that. Because it means after we've said we're poor, miserable sinners, and the pastor turns to us and says, in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. We know that that absolution is absolutely not dependent on us, but only on God. It's our faith in Christ that saves us. It's Christ who frees us. It's Christ who names us God's children. He is the one who sets us out in the world not to earn salvation, but to live out what we already have by grace, by God's undeserved kindness in Jesus. It's given to us as a gift by grace from God. And that's why Paul writes that these words, it was counted to Abraham, were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Gracious Heavenly Father, may we receive this work of Christ by faith, knowing that it is Christ who has accomplished salvation for us. Amen.
We thank Pastor Charles Saint-Ange from Ascension Lutheran Church in Montreal, Quebec, for today's meditation on God's Word.